With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Bonjour.
Welcome to a new summer episode of So French, a podcast about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks, we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from our studio in the heart of Paris. My name is Stéphane de Vries.
And my name is Sarah Bertilsson. This week, we'll tell you why some French media outlets have decided to no longer publish photos of terrorists. And we'll be getting in the holiday mood and talk some about French holiday habits.
But first, we start with a topic that, unfortunately, we have addressed many times already in this podcast: terrorist attacks. Terrorists have struck again the last couple of weeks in France. First, it was Nice on July the 14th. And then, this week, a priest in a small suburban town in the west of the country was killed in what the Islamic State group describes as their soldiers. Two, as it looks like, premeditated attacks hitting very symbolic targets, causing devastation and, above all, political chaos.
These events are horrible in themselves, but what has been almost as terrifying to watch is the political drama that has been playing out in the aftermath of these attacks. No longer these days of political unity in respect of the victims after terrorist attacks. Now we have seen political disputes, I mean, immediately, almost even before the victims have been identified.
Yeah, in Nice, the politicians had the decency to wait at least until the next morning. But with the attack in the suburb of Rouen, it was like a couple of hours. They already started blaming each other. The right was blaming the socialist government for being inactive, the government blaming the right for becoming authoritarian and putting democratic principles aside, the far right blaming immigration, and of course the left and right was blaming everyone for having allowed France to become a country of multiculturalism. And, well, nobody seems to have an answer. And the answers aren't easy,
no.
Of course, Sarah.
I don't think that anyone has an answer to what is going to, what has to be done and what should be done. But I saw one very, what I found interesting and nice editorial that was written after the terrorist attacks in Nice, I think. And this real urge for a call for a real unity, and not like this fake unity as we have seen maybe after the Charlie Hebdo attacks, where, well, everyone was out in the streets, they were holding hands, and they
Je
were saying
suis Charlie.
Je suis Charlie. Yeah. But everybody knew that this was just a facade and it was not going to last, and it didn't last very long. But this editorial, which was in the Libération a couple of days after Nice attacks, was that I think the French people, they're so tired of this. They can't take any more of the bickering, of the blame game. They're really asking for politicians to take their responsibility and to sit down without their own careers in the front line, you do something for France and for the French people.
Yeah, what strikes me is that no politician dares to look into the mirror and say, okay, we have a real problem. It's also our responsibility. What kind of society do we want to have? The only thing you're hearing is militaristic language. François Hollande, who wants a National Guard, then Sarkozy says, well, you know, we should not bother. If we want to fight terrorism, we should not have too many legal debates so we can put the constitutional state
aside. Sarkozy wants to lock up everyone who is under surveillance for possible threat to the...
Yeah, he wants a
country.
Sort of Guantanamo Bay, but then the French
française.
A la française. Yeah. So and they're all blaming each other, and nobody really asks what we should do about this society, because of course there is the so-called IS or Daesh, as we call them in France, but there's also a responsibility of the society. There are many problems in this society.
And the fact is that these terrorists are French.
Yeah, that's another thing.
To the large, large majority, they're French. They were born in France. They grew up in France.
Absolutely. And even the attacker in Nice, who was a born Tunisian, he grew up in the French, the French values, because Tunisia is based on the French idea of the Republic. So these people are inside. So the reply of the politicians is very weird. It's more we need to control the borders because they think the danger is coming from outside. Well, it's very nice that they control the borders because that means that the French terrorists can't go to our neighbors anymore. But these are all measures that are being taken very quickly, emotionally, almost like you said, when the bodies are still warm, you know, the people, the victims. It's very sad because there will be no solution on the short term for terrorism. And of course, one very important aspect is the fact that in 9 months from now, we have the presidential election, and it looks like the campaign has already started.
Yeah, well, it's also, even before that election, we have the primaries. And that is also an explanation to why we're seeing all this bickering even within the different parties. Because, as we remember, we've talked about this before, the right party has a list of about 14, 16 candidates for their primaries. They're all trying to create their platform and position themselves in before these primaries. Same thing in the socialist side. So not only do we have the two or three different political parties against each other, we also have candidates within the different parties trying to position themselves.
And while the campaign is going on with all kinds of unrealistic proposals, the terrorist attacks will probably, unfortunately, still continue.
One more thing as a result of these terrorist attacks is a decision this week from several media in France, both newspapers and television stations, announcing that they will no longer publish photographs of terrorists. Some even going as far as saying they're no longer going to give the name of terrorists. Stefan, what do you think about this?
Well, it sounds very noble, of course, because the argumentation is that the terrorists don't deserve any platform. They could become heroes if everybody knows who they are. But at the same time, it's also some kind of self-censorship of these media. And Le Monde was one of the newspapers who decided not to publish the names or the photos. But a day later, they already more or less nuanced their decision by saying, well, we won't publish photos they've taken themselves. So if there are public photos, for instance, the identity card, then they still can publish it. But of course, the question is, should the media publish everything they have? Is it true that terrorists become heroes when they are published in the media? I tend to disagree with the principle. I mean, I reckon media should inform and not censor, and the audience is smart enough, or, well, at least I hope they're smart enough, to draw their own conclusions. And if we decide not to publish the facts we have, who are we to decide whether the public is entitled to the information or not? Where do we go from here? Tomorrow we may decide not to publish information about normal criminals, and maybe the day after tomorrow we stop publishing information that can be harmful to politicians or businesses. It's a slippery slope.
Counter argument to that is that journalists always make decisions.
That's
on
true.
What to publish and not to publish. You don't publish too gruesome images. You don't give any. I mean, there. Journalism is a selection, so that would be a counter argument to that.
Yes, that's true. And I find it really a difficult issue. Publishing the identity could help the investigation. Witnesses can give the police information. And maybe it's possible to distinguish a pattern or a network. But you're right to mention the case of the gruesome images. What should be done with those? I mean, every case needs a specific approach, but I think it's dangerous to decide on forehand not to print any personal information about terrorists. And besides that, it's very easy to find their details online anyway, on social media, for instance, or in the foreign press.
I must say that I think that is one the honorability in the decision from some of the French media outlets is in the case that they actually made their own decision.
Yes.
They didn't say that because, you know, it doesn't matter, the pictures will be in foreign media anyway, so we're no longer allowed and entitled to our own decision. I think that's honorable of them to say that, well, this is our limit, this is what we do, and then what everybody else decides to do, it's up to them. So
yeah. So what shall we do?
Well, we're not showing any pictures.
No, that's true, but we can mention the names. I think if the police or the prosecutor mention their names, I think then we could mention them as well. And
we'll have a debate and we'll we'll okay. announce our decision.
Now, there's not only coming bad news from France these days, but there's also some good news, at least for the environment. France did not become the new European football champion this summer. Unfortunately, they lost the final against Portugal, but they did become the champions of electric cars. In the first half of this year, 50,000 electric cars were sold in Europe, and 30% alone were here, sold here. 15,000 new ones, new electric cars on the French roads. These are absolute numbers. Relatively, Norway is still the biggest electric car driver. 13% of all new cars there are electric. Here, it's only 1%.
Interesting with Norway, because with all the petrol.
Yeah, so. I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of subsidy. That's also the case here in France. Maybe that plays a role. And of course, there's this very lovely electric car, the Renault Zoe, French car, which is selling really well. It's no surprising news for us Parisians, Sarah, because since a couple of years we have thousands of electric cars here in the streets at our disposal for a small fee. These are called Autolib. I don't have a driver's license, but I know you have a subscription. How does it work, these electric cars?
It's quite simple. You sign up for a year subscription, more or less. You pay about 100 euros or something like that. And then you have access to these cars who are parked all around Paris. You can either reserve one in advance, or you just go to one of the stations and you pick one up, and you pay about 5 euros for a 30-minute drive or something like that. And it's a system that has more or less exploded over the last couple of years. It began with a couple of thousand cars, and I don't know how many now. It's all over Paris. It's
also in the suburbs.
In the suburbs, yeah. Exactly. It's expanding all over the region, so you now can go much further. And it's a system that's really appreciated by the Parisians, mostly because of the... it's a simple way, it's cheap, but you don't have the problem with parking your car, because as anyone has been to Paris knows that there is a extreme lack of parking places, and with these you always have somewhere to put your car. So it's a very easy way of getting around Paris, and if you want to make like a small leave Paris for at least a couple of hours or a couple of minutes.
And do you like driving an electric car? Is it very different?
It's not different from an ordinary car. It's just you have to get used to the fact that they don't make any noise. First couple of times you don't actually realize that it's running, but except for that, it's probably not for people who are extremely into cars, because it's still a very, very tiny, small, simple tin box car, tin can car. But for us, the rest of us who just uses it to get him from point A to point B, it's very good.
And besides being very quiet, electric cars also help to clean up the very dirty Parisian air. It is estimated that every year 42,000 people in France alone die because of pollution. And since July, the city of Paris has banned cars older than 20 years to enter the city. And in 5 years from now, this will be the case for all cars older than 7 years.
And finally, we're end of July, well, soon in August, it's holiday. So we'll decided to take it a little bit on the easy side today and talk about French holiday habits, actually. Turns out the French are being more optimistic than they used to be. More people take off on holiday this year, well, at least more people than during the crisis years. About 6 out of 10 French people planning on taking holiday this year. And August being the very, very much preferred month for French.
Yeah, that's a traditional month. It's very strange when you come to Paris in August. Everything is closed. There are no cars in the streets. You really have the city for yourself. I always like it, so I always like to stay in Paris in
so
August.
So do I. Yeah, it's a really
this is
nice
the only month in the year that the city is yours, actually. And everybody leaves at exactly the same time. So thousands and thousands of people are spending hours and hours on the highways, standing in traffic jams.
You know, I'm starting to believe that they actually like it.
Yeah,
because
me too.
It's not possible otherwise that, you know, they all leave at the same hour.
Yeah, that's also a thing. But the thing is, they usually rent apartments or hotels, and it goes from Saturday to Saturday. So everybody has to leave at the same time. There are very few hotels that basically offer.
But, you know, even people who actually have their own hot summer houses tend to leave that very same Saturday. So I don't know. Maybe it's part of the whole trip to start, you know, kick off with this massive traffic jam. And then, you know, once you arrived, you know that you went through a hard time, but then you can actually really, really relax.
Yeah, you first have to suffer and then you can enjoy. So, yeah, that's very, very French. So French, I would say. And 75% of all the French, they stay inside France for the holidays. It's understandable, of course, because it's still a beautiful country with mountains, with sea, with every single landscape you can imagine. So most of the people stay here. Only 20-25% go abroad, and then they usually go to Spain. There's a preferred holiday destination for the French. But what do they do with the kids? Because school holidays in France, they last 2 months, the whole month of July, the whole month of August. And usually a lot of people work in July. So what do they do with the kids, Sarah?
Well, they actually send them off. Well, you know, there's something called the colonie de vacances, so colo, as a shortened version. It's a very, very liked French tradition, actually. You send off your kids from the age of, sometimes as young as 5 years, but normally it's from the age of 7 or 8 until they're around 15. They go away for a week, even 2 weeks. Without parents, exactly. They take the train or they go by bus. They go with their friends, but most importantly, they are there to meet new friends. And it's the whole thing of going on camp. You know, you sleep in the same room as friends. You eat in the same in the same room. You go out hiking or you have sports activities. There are an extreme variety of these colonies de vacances. You have some who are devoted to if you're part of a certain sports activity or a religion as well. You have special Catholic camps, for example, or Jewish for youth groups for Jewish children. So there is something, I would say, almost for everyone. Only thing about these, of course, is the price tag. They are quite expensive.
Yeah. How much does it cost a week?
Around 500 euros for a week.
Okay.
Everything is included, of course. The trip there, food, activities. But 500 euros is a lot of money. So mostly, it's either those who have high salaries who can send their children to these colony, or they're also subsidies from the state. And they're quite good subsidies, actually, so which gives people with a lower income a good possibility to send their children as well to the colonies.
That's another so French tradition. And basically, the adults, they continue doing the same because we have the Club Med, very popular as well. It's basically what they've done.
It's a colony for adults.
Grown-ups. Yeah, okay, good. Well, if you're going on holiday this summer, we wish you, of course, a very happy vacation. And that wraps up this episode of So French. You can follow us on Twitter at So French News. And if you have any suggestions or questions, please send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or in SoundCloud. And you can also find us on the TuneIn Radio application and share our podcast with your friends. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of So French. We hope you will join us then. Until then, thank you for listening.
Au revoir et bonnes vacances.
step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.